This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The songs of Burt Bacharach and my guest Hal David are showing up everywhere, in movies like My Best Friend's Wedding and Austin Powers, in TV commercials, in reissues, on tribute records by jazz, rock, and avant-garde musicians. You probably know lots of Hal David lyrics by heart. Lyrics to songs such as The Look of Love, What the World Needs Now, You'll Never Get to Heaven, Close to You, Do You Know the Way to San Jose, I'll Never Fall in Love Again, I Say a Little Prayer, Walk on By, This Guy's in Love with You, and What's New Pussycat? Bacharach and David's collaboration lasted from the late 50s to the mid-70s. The leading interpreter of their music is Dionne Warwick. Let's listen to her first recording of a Bacharach-David song.
Don't make me over. Now that I do anything for you, don't make me over. Now that you know how I adore you, don't pick on the things I say, the things I do. Just love me with all my faults, the way that I love you. Don't make me over. Now that I can't make it without you, don't make me over. I wouldn't change one thing about you. Just take me inside your arms and hold me tight and always be by my side.
Hal David, welcome to Fresh Air. Tell me the story of how you first met Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick was a background singer with her mother and various relatives on recording sessions in New York, The Drifters, and so on and so forth. And she had come over to us to ask if, us being Burt Bacharach and myself, to ask if she could do some demonstration records for us. And we invited her to our office in New York City, and she sang for us, and she just blew us away, and we thought we should record her.
Now, she says that this song was written for her after a little argument. What was the argument about?
Well, we were making demonstration records, one of them being Make It Easy on Yourself. And the publisher, which was Famous Music, an arm of Paramount Pictures, took the song to Jerry Butler, who recorded it, and it became a hit. And she was very upset, thinking that she should have been the one to record it, and she had just made the demonstration record. And so she said, you know, don't make me over. I mean, let me record my own songs once you write them. And so we went in the studio and we wrote the song, Don't Make Me Over, and recorded it with Dionne, which was her first recording commercially, and it was a hit.
You and Burt Bacharach have each said that Alfie is your favorite song, or at least right on top there. Why is Alfie your favorite?
Well, in writing songs, we're always trying to be as good as we can be, try to be at our very best. We're not always at our very best. I think that's an impossibility for anyone. And then there are time constraints when there are recording sessions to go into, films where the song has got to be produced in a given amount of time, and a theater piece where it's got to go in very quickly. Consequently, you let go of songs sometimes before it's every bit as good as you hoped it would be. I think with Alfie, in my case at least, that song came as close to being the way I wanted that a song to be.
Now, in the bridge, it doesn't really rhyme. You know, as sure as I believe there's a heaven above, Alfie, I know there's something much more, something even non-believers can believe in. Tell me about doing that without a rhyme.
Well, now that you asked the question, I hadn't even thought of it, and I don't think I even thought that it didn't have a rhyme. You bring it to my attention. That's just exactly how I heard the lyric going. I wrote that lyric for the most part first, and Bert wrote the music afterwards. He wrote a brilliant melody. I just heard those lines, and the structure of the lines was the way I thought it should fall in the bridge of the song, and I now know I didn't have a rhyme in the bridge, and that's interesting for me.
If I were a lyricist, this is an assignment I don't think I would have wanted. Write a title theme for a movie called Alfie about a womanizer who, you know, really mistreats the women in his life. Mm-hmm. Seems like a tough assignment. You did good. What did you think when you got this assignment?
Well, I thought to myself, my God, why do they keep giving me these terrible assignments? It seems such an odd phrase, Alfie. It was not a name that spelled any sort of romance whatsoever. It sounded almost like a music hall, a British music hall kind of song. And it took me a while to find my way into the song, which was the opening line. What's it all about? And suddenly I had a sense of where I should go.
Well, let's bring back Dionne Warwick again. And this is Alfie. Music by Burt Bacharach, lyric by my guest, Hal David.
What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when you sort it out, Alfie? Are we meant to take more? It is wise to be cruel. And if life belongs only to the strong, Alfie, what will you lend on an old golden rule? As sure as I believe, there's a
We'll talk more with lyricist Hal David after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is lyricist Hal David, and right now we're talking about his long collaboration with Burt Bacharach. One of your songs that I really love is The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. I'm a real sucker for these big Western themes. I've always really loved this, you know, big Gene Pitney vocal. The song is not used in the movie The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. It was just inspired by the film. Why did you decide to write a lyric inspired by the story of the movie?
Well, we were asked to write it for Paramount. There was a movie called The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, a John Ford movie.
Great movie.
Great movie. They were called exploitation songs in those days. And the film companies had you do those songs to have a song come out and perhaps become a hit and exploit the film. Every time the title song was played, people would hear the title and think of the film. The song turned out to be a rather good song, and the Paramount Publishing Company and we made every effort to try to get the song into the film. John Ford resisted it, because he didn't conceive of a song being in the film at that point. And as much as Paramount pressed them to put it in, they were not successful, and we were not successful. So the song came out. Gene Pitney recorded it, did a very good record, and became a big hit. And I suspect Mr. Ford might have been a little regretful that he didn't have it in the film.
Okay, one of the lines that I really like in the lyric, you know, because the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood when it came to shooting straight and fast. He was mighty good. It's such a different style than, like, your sophisticated love songs. tell me about finding the language for this, you know, Western anthem.
Well, let's see. How did I do that? You know, over the years, I found myself writing hit songs that became big country hits, and I had never been I had never been down south in the country to now. I have since, but to Nashville. I don't know. I seem to hear those things, and I find it kind of natural for me to do. I've never had a problem writing Western songs, country songs. You know, most of the work we do as songwriters or any kind of creative person is really done in the imagination. And you can do almost anything that you can imagine. And I guess I imagine things like The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Well, here's Gene Pitney to sing The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, music by Burt Bacharach, lyric by my guest, Hal David.
When Liberty Valance rode to town, the women folk would hide, they'd hide. When Liberty Valance walked around, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good. From out of the east, a stranger came, a law book in his hand. Oh, man, the kind of a man the West would need to tame a troubled land. 'Cause the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good. Many a man would face his gun, and many a man would fall. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance. He was the bravest of them all.
That's Gene Pitney singing The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance with a lyric by my guest, Hal David. I want to hear a little bit about your background. I know that your parents were from Eastern Europe, I believe.
Eastern Europe, from Austria.
And your father opened up a deli in what, Brooklyn or Manhattan?
In Brooklyn, a delicatessen and restaurant.
And you and the family lived upstairs from the deli. What was the best part and worst part about living upstairs from your parents' deli?
Well, the best part of living upstairs, it was easy to go home from the store. And we did tend to have our meals upstairs rather than in the store as a family. And the store in our home was about 2 to 3 streets away from our elementary school, where the four of us, we were four children, three brothers and one sister, all went to the same grade school, all went to the same high school. And everyone knew us. It was kind of a lower middle class area, lower middle class maybe to poor, but it was kind of a very nice and friendly atmosphere to grow up in.
Do you think that you paid a lot of attention to lyrics when you were a kid listening to music?
Well, my oldest brother, Mac David, was a songwriter.
I'm going to stop you right there and name some of the songs that he wrote the lyrics to. He wrote the lyrics to Blue and Sentimental, Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White, Lily Marlene, is that right?
Correct.
It Must Be Him, that Vicky Carr hit, Let It Please
right.
Be Him, It Must Be Him. I'm Just a Lucky So-and-So, and the lyrics for the TV theme, 77 Sunset Strip, Hawaiian Eye, and Surfside 6.
And Candy, and I Don't Care If the Sun Don't Shine.
So when did you start thinking that you wanted to do that too?
Well, I don't know. It seems to me always, I was always interested in writing more lyrics than music. We all studied music. We all played the violin, when I say all, the three brothers. I had a little band. I don't recall if my brothers did or not, but I had a band that used to play for weddings and bar mitzvahs and things of that nature in Brooklyn, and used to work in the Boer Circuit in the Catskill Mountains during summers, and finally got a job writing advertising copy for the New York Post, which is where I thought I was going to wind up being a newspaper person.
I think when you were in the Army, you ended up writing songs for the USO?
No, not the USO, the Central Pacific Entertainment Section, which was an Army special service unit, which was based in Hawaii, in Honolulu, at the University of Hawaii in Honolulu.
So you basically had a showbiz job in the Army?
Oh, that's what I did.
That's great.
I was very, very lucky. Yeah. I think the Army was very lucky to have me away from guns, too. And that's what I did for about 3 years. I worked writing shows, musical shows, songs, sketches, and it changed my life because when I came out of that, I knew that's what I wanted to do.
So, remember any of the lyrics that you wrote for the Army?
Well, my famous lyric, the one I'm most proud of, and it was a hit in the Pacific, though... I'm sure it's not known by your audience. It was called "Send the Salami to Your Boy in the Army." It's the patriotic thing that everyone should do. Send the salami to your boy in the Army. Don't just send him things to wear. Send him something he can chew.
This is written by the son of a deli man.
It's written by the son of a deli man, and it was a hit. And I remember being with my wife at some function, and somebody came over to our table and said, "Did you write 'Send the Salami to Your Boy in the Army'?" Because he had been in the Pacific. And I said, I had. And he just wanted to shake my hand.
So it really was well known during the war?
Well known in the Pacific.
Hal David is my guest. I would like to give you the chance to choose the music that we're going to close with, since I've been kind of hogging all the choosing during the program. Do you have a song that you'd particularly like to have us play? One of your favorites?
Yes, I would. I'm sitting here right next to my wife, Eunice, who's listening to this interview, and I know the song that she loves so much is "To All the Girls I've Loved Before" with Julio and Willie, so that's the one I choose.
And maybe Eunice would like to say what she loves about the song?
Let's put her on. She's going to come right over here to my microphone and do that.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
First of all, I think you have a great voice.
Oh, thank you.
I think what I like about that song is the rhythm and the happiness of it. I've never looked at it as a sexist song. I know some women have objected to it, but I think it's just got great verve and energy to it. And I love the fact that the two men who are singing it, Julio and Willie, are so different, and yet they go together so well in that duet. I just think it's a super song.
Well, I hope when you hear it, you don't think of your husband thinking of all the girls he's ever loved.
Yes, but that's in the past, don't forget.
True, all right.
Bye.
Well, bye. Thank you for telling us why you love the song. And Hal David?
Yes.
Are you back with us? I want to say thank you so much for sharing some of the stories behind the songs and some of the stories of your life. It's been a complete pleasure. Thank you for giving us so many great songs. That's what I really want to thank you for.
Thank you, Terry.